Thought Leadership from PwC's National Office Studios.
You need to have someone be able to tell that story of you're not just having the time to do the data discovery, you're actually giving them the answers. Here's the action you need to take and really try to drive that action.
That's my guest for today, Scott Peck, leader of PwC's data and analytics team. This is Heather Horn, and thanks for joining me for the next episode of our Forecast 2021 podcast miniseries. Telling your business story with data has the ability to drive real change, but it takes more than just showing your data to pinpoint what matters most to your business. That's why today we're talking about how to transform and declutter your data to effectively communicate the most relevant and meaningful information. I hope you're ready to think outside pretty charts and dashboards. So let's get started. So Scott, thanks so much for joining me today. And as I mentioned to you when we were prepping, this is a topic I'm very excited to talk about. I think something that's becoming more relevant to all of us day to day. But before we actually get into this idea of data storytelling, can you give us just some background in terms of how did you become our data and analytics leader? And what does your team actually look like and what do they do?
I joined the firm about 15 years ago. I pretty much started in a new group. They formed a centralized reporting team. Been part of that kind of transformation in the reporting space. I started leading the group about 10 years ago. And now we've transformed from, I would say, a reporting group that we used to produce 100,000 reports a month to now we do, we have teams that do machine learning. We have UX visualization experts. We have data engineers, architects. We have analysts, I call analysts of the future. And we just focus on the insight. And we've tried to really get ourselves out of the reporting business. And we've done a good job of doing that and transform how we do things.
With that, why don't you explain to us when we talk about data storytelling, what do you mean when you say that?
Data storytelling is combining, say, your expertise with data, you bring your visualizations together, and you bring a narrative. You know, bring that narrative to the visual. You know, we had an era of ton of visualization and data discovery, now moving into a space where we really want to drive the answers, insights, the machine learning, the AI, and really bring out those pieces of information. And you need to have someone be able to tell that story of you're not just having the time to do the data discovery, you're actually giving them the answers. Here's the action you need to take and really try to drive that action to life and using the data that you have to do it. And it's such an important piece.
Well, and so let me take a step back then. And as you're thinking about all of this data, how do you tell a story with it? Like, how do you even know where to start in terms of what you might possibly be able to do with the data?
Yeah, I feel like this is a piece that has evolved a lot over the last couple of years. I actually have a team that does UX design, really focused around the user experience of visuals and how they consume information. And, you know, we really try to, when we first got into this business, like just dump a lot of visuals out there with really no story. We kind of thought we had a story, but we thought people just data discover. When we started focusing on thinking about what is the business looking for? What do they need? We started hosting sessions, these voice of the customer sessions, and really started learning what they're trying to look for and what they're trying to drive in their business. And then what we did is we took our UX and said, let's build them an experience with that data and bring narrative to that story to try to drive an end-to-end look at what those stories look like. And it's really amazing the type of skills that we're bringing into our team that we didn't have before that never even think about it. And it is an art on how to look through this information and bring it all together and bring action to life.
So then if I'm a CFO and I'm thinking about my team, and again, let's just start that I have a bunch of charts and diagrams and things like that. So what's sort of like a practical use case? Could I just start by better explaining the data I'm already illustrating, or do I need to dive deeper?
So I would bring your we call it our business interpreters, those that are closest to the business that do understand data, but I kind of tease them. They're kind of like, you're our journalist. And we actually joked about, should we hire journalists? Because they're great at telling stories. And that's what we really need is that business expertise. And bring those together with the people that are good at building your visuals and surround them with those people to help them build that story. It's amazing by bringing those people together, A, the business acumen that everyone starts to learn, even in the technical people. But you really start putting it all together, saying like, here's where the narrative, here's the story you want to tell. So bringing that in our world, a business interpreter to the mix, and let them tell that story and work with your CFO and say, here's the story we see. Now you give us information. Let us keep building on that story.
And are you often finding that you need different data, or is it just looking at the data you have a different way?
We've spent a lot of time over the years, at least consolidating our data. I think for the most part, I'd say, 90% we have it. It's just the business changes. So it's just how we look at it and what's important today. For our CFO, we've tried to create an environment that we see some high level numbers and we say, where do you want to start? What do you see? And we try to create a very dynamic, analysis for him based on what he's seeing. And we've, starting to put in technology that has a lot more agility to it, where we're building, visuals on the fly. We're researching with him real time. And we're kind of building that story every month very differently, because it's just, I think the whole environment changes and the business changes so dramatically and so quickly, especially in the COVID time, where we're seeing a lot of changes in industry. And we wanted to create much more agility to our CFO in that space to bring data agility on what he needs to look at for real time and bring that analysis to him quickly.
So it's interesting, you highlighted there that you ask him sort of what he sees from the data. And I do think it's interesting, we even have our own, we do our own analysis of all of our thought leadership data, who's consuming which podcasts and which of our publications, et cetera. And definitely if you have different people looking, you're all seeing different things from the same data. And so how much of what you're doing is kind of building on what one person is focused on versus the whole group kind of looking at all of the data and saying, well, here's the main trends I see, and trying to coalesce around a common vision.
With our CFO, I mean, we at least have a starting point with him. What really stuck out for you that we need to dive more into? Our CFO, he is, at the end of the day, the journalist to the organization on how the financial results and what that story is going to be. We do spend a lot of time on at least trying to build up what that's our business interpreters think the story is and try to give them a head start. But we also want to, we're not always in the same meetings as CFOs on. And then we kind of build off the narrative from there and kind of build out that story.
So you mentioned the analyst of the future. And what is that concept? And then who is that person?
So the analyst of the future was a strategy when we were heavy individualizations. We had a lot of visualization designers, and we really wanted to get out of that business a little bit. We wanted to move towards, I call the rock star approach, like build the rock star, build the journalists of tomorrow that are really the new analysts. And the design of that was to bring your data engineers, your visualization experts, and that business interpreter all into one team. And with an idea to center the skills around the analyst to build that narrative and the story. Because at the end of the day, the end result, the highest value we could drive was that insight back to the leaders we were supporting. So that strategy internally as a group was to focus on that analyst, as that is the one person we need to promote and get them to the stakeholders and make them the rock stars of that space. And we have about 15 different analysts within our organization. We have 15 that are dedicated to different leaders and functions within the organization, CFO being one of them. And our goal is for all 15 that they are all the rock stars of their space, and they know they're driving the insights to those leaders every day. And we have brought the skills around them to support them with your data expertise. You have your machine learning experts, you have your visualization experts, but they're all centered to support that analyst. And that analyst is what I call the analyst of the future, bringing all the skills together. And if you think of data storytelling, those are the three core components to provide an amazing data story to your different personas you're supporting.
If I'm the CFO and I'm listening, I'm thinking about my own group and the people I have, is this a place where this is a training question of bringing new skills to your existing team, or you've mentioned bringing a lot of skill sets in? Like, how do you see people building successful teams that are able to really do this?
So for my first advice that I, when being in this space for a long time, is find the people that love to learn. This area changes every day. New technologies come in. And I think what we've seen is those who are just have this super ambition to learn new things thrive in this space. And I think there's a lot of group people that like to specialize in different things. There are people that you don't have to be this expert data engineer. You don't have to be this expert in machine learning. I think the power of making this successful is bringing those who enjoy those areas and bring them together, make them work together. And you might have someone on your team that maybe is good with a technology like Alteryx, for example, or you might have technology that's interested in machine learning, and, you know, bring those two together and give them a business problem to solve. It's amazing how fast they progress. You know, probably half the people on our team didn't have expertise in some of these different areas. We did bring in some expertise, but half of them probably didn't and had no experience in machine learning or no experience in, you know, data engineering. And they quickly learned. And now you could say that some of them are just bigger, more experts than some of the ones that we say are in the market that we're hiring, that they have really grown in this space. But a lot of it is around the teaming they do and the business acumen they're learning at the same time. So creating these new expertise, and it's really neat to see everyone progress in the team.
Yes, so Scott, I have to say, just from watching you, and I know our listeners can't, but you definitely have a love for learning, because this idea of growing and getting these new skills, I can definitely tell. And I actually do myself too, and data as well. I think you didn't mention that, but I think a love of data is probably a very key part of being good at the job you have. So if I'm the CFO, and again, now I've kind of thought about my team and I've assembled the best group I have. Beyond that, what does this data and analytics transformation journey look like? Are there stages that I can kind of expect to go through? And let's assume I'm maybe more in my infancy in terms of what I'm doing with my data right now.
One of the most powerful things you can do out of the gate once you start formulating the skills is knowing your personas. And the CFO is a persona. We started hosting Voice of the Customer sessions and really started mapping out what is important through all the different aspects of every persona and what's important to them. And what it did, it gave us a strategy on not only when you think of the three components, the data, the visualization, and the narrative, it allowed us to build everything around what the importance was around that persona and what was their driving. So when we said we had 90% of it, we more than likely did because we've really walked through with them, tell us your ideal state of everything you see is going to be problems and what you're going to try to drive in your position and with the firm, and allowed us to organize data, allowed us to organize the type of visualizations we need to be prepared for. And then it really gave us more context of the narratives we need to be looking for. And what we like to do is we like to do this for all the personas we support, because everyone's persona has different needs for the data. They have different challenges they struggle with in their organization, their group. And we try to drive a persona by persona experience. And it's also a strategy behind the scenes on how we organize the data and how we model it. And we keep that voice of what they need, you know, firsthand and saying, this is how we need to strategize around it. And we keep that going. You know, every so often we do a check-in saying, hey, is your story changing? Do we need to kind of repivot and rethink how we're doing things behind the scenes to make sure we're not just producing dashboards and here's your newest thing. And, you know, because those dashboards will eventually die, because you'll see new ones starting to spin up and you have these old ones. You're like, what do I do with this? We want an evolving, you know, experience that there's no need for a new dashboard or anything like that. You have that real time experience with your analyst and visualization at the same time.
So, and this is to state the obvious, but when you're talking about voice of the customer, you're talking about the users of your data. So people who might want to gain insight from the data that you have. But question for you then on this idea of the dashboards and the evolution, how much of what you're doing is because the customer is asking for something, and how much is from you sort of knowing your customer and knowing, hey, looking at the data this way is going to help them gain new insight from it?
you have a really successful interpreter who knows their business, we always call the 80-20 rule. You should be able to go to that meeting with 80% of what they probably want, knowing their business, knowing we want you to help fill in the 20% gaps. And that's what we're trying to drive with there. So we try not to kind of get into that order taker model. We really want to be more of that business partner. If you're really in that space, that you shouldn't even have to kind of go back and say, this is what I need. Now, there is always the demand of, we call it the ad hoc world in this space, that there is always the CEO needs a piece of information. He has a meeting. And that's what our analysts are great for. Like they're there. They know the information. They know the content. We're really quick at getting it. We use a lot of, you know, technology these days that are really focused on quick visualizations and quick answers, but that's not reoccurring. So that's definitely something that we know is a high volume though of work.
Well, so and to that point, do you see this as a place where there's always more? So every month there's another chart or another visualization or another story you're telling, or is it more about making sure you're telling the right story? And I think I know the answer, but I'm going to let you answer anyway.
This never ends. It's like, you know, I always said about 10 years ago that I'm like, how much more data are we going to need in this warehouse? And everyone used to tell me like, well, we keep adding more. It just never seems to end. And it just changes so much. The economy and everything, the environment around us is changing, which makes new demands and new needs of what you need to get to these leaders to make decisions. And the ad hocs is something I think we saw, especially with COVID out of the gate, a huge uptake in, I just need an answer. We're trying to make a quick decision. It wasn't even have time to create a dashboard or a visualization around it. It was just, give me the answer. What is the insight? What is the data telling you? And let's go with that. We saw a big change in that environment with the demand and what you needed.
So to that point, because hopefully there will not be another COVID, but I'm sure there'll be another crisis that people are going to need data fast and want answers quickly. And obviously you can't anticipate what that next thing is going to be. So how do you think about being ready for whatever requests you need, kind of recognizing you can't always build something custom and you just have to have your data in a usable order?
The voice of the customer, we keep doing those sessions. I mean, with CFO, obviously we meet all the time. And so you're hearing more of that change and demand of what they're getting asked and what they're seeing happening. So we're constantly in this redesign in what we need to give them. You know, I think the days of like the standardized dashboard that's, you know, we used to produce so much of, I'm hoping we've been slowly kind of getting rid of those as much as we can. We do know that, you know, what we've seen and what our leaders want is they want this agility. They want the speed and they want the insights quick, and they don't want to spend the time digging through dashboards to get to it. So we really focused on that narrative and that storytelling of giving them, here's the information that you need to look at first, and building kind of that storyboard every month that we talk to them, and given that real time experience.
So let me dive a little deeper, and I should have asked this before. You keep talking about the story, the storyboard, and a journalist. So how much is words versus charts versus numbers when you think of a report that you're producing today, maybe compared to 5 or 10 years ago?
We're getting into a lot more words. Obviously, we keep it to a minimum. But I feel like every visual should have narrative to it. If you're going to present a visual, explain to me what this is and what's important about it, and what decision should I be thinking about, and trying to build kind of that whole story around it. And that's something we're still working on. And I think what we're trying to drive is that the ability to quickly get to a visual, but if you have to explain it, you know, people always talk about, why is this little dot way up here? That's the anomaly. Should I focus on that? I'm like, no, that's normal. That's okay. That business is normal. You need to focus on this one way down here. And that's some of the problems with, you know, just dumping dashboards out there. If you don't educate the why, and what you should you look at, and then give them some suggestions on things they can think about, and back it up with some other visuals of maybe some things that say, this is what would happen if you did improve it.
Yes. So then if you were to pick up one of the reports you're producing 10 years ago and you put one of the ones you're producing today next to it, what are some of the biggest things that would jump out at you, do you think?
Well, there would actually be visuals. I think they're, but it's, you know, I think it's amazing what we did then, back then. I mean, we just dumped data and send it off, and it was very decentralized even how we were sending reports. I mean, here's your, this piece of information and this piece of information. I think what you'll, we've done an amazing job is bringing it more together. Like, you don't think of it as one data component. You think of it, you start seeing multiple systems across the board of systems you're looking at. You know, it's being able to see your end to end. That's where the voice of the customer came so valuable, that we took all the systems out of the equation. Just what data do you need? And really looking at a more end to end of all the data you have in your organization and looking at that full picture.
What types of questions are you getting, and what's the focus when you're talking to people outside the firm?
Some of the things we've heard, obviously the business interpreter concept has been, you know, something that's been important, a big topic on how we're getting there. You know, we hear a lot about, we produce a lot of dashboards. How do I get out of the dashboard business? So we've heard a lot of that topic. And you know, we took an approach. We at one point we had a zero-based dashboard approach. You know, let's try to start getting out of dashboards. You know, I think we also start hearing more is our team has this kind of a hybrid of that teaming concept, be trying to merge some of the technical skills with the business skills and bring them together. And, you know, I think we've talked to clients around that concept, around you don't need to, you can sit in IT and they can sit in the business if they want, or in our finance organization, but they can work together as a team to drive business problems. And persona sessions have been very valuable in them to try to understand that end-to-end need. It's been a very powerful discussion around, and that's really helped us the most to understand not just the financial, but the whole gamut of what do you need in a story, and try to drive that a little bit better.
Yeah, that's a great lesson to think about. And it actually does, again, make me even think about how we use our data, and are there different ways that we could be doing that? So let me ask you another question then, because obviously, you know, you've talked about what we've done here at PwC. And can you give us, and you know, maybe not too specific, but some of the general benefits that you've seen of even, let's say, this exercise of identifying, you know, the different needs for the data, or some of the other things that you've put in place?
You will see a consolidation on dashboards if you go this approach. I mean, you will see, I felt at one point when technology, some of these visualization tools have come out, it's just like dashboards everywhere. And we've heard that even with clients, the dashboards have gotten out of control in a lot of areas and don't know what people are even using it for. So you will see a significant redundancy on that by trying to change this approach. I do think it brings a lot more consolidated. Once you know kind of what the narratives you need to be saying, you bring a lot more consistency. We've done a good job of trying to centralize our team, so the business interpreters talk to each other. So you get a lot more cohesiveness across the groups. Like, hey, our CFO needs some information on human capital. Well, let's go talk to the, you know, our human capital business interpreter, for example. And they share information. They share strategy too. So you do bring a lot more consistency on what you're presenting, what you're showing, the narrative you're telling, and trying to bring it a little more cohesive around the organization. So it does help as well.
So just a few final questions. You know, we've talked about data, obviously, this whole podcast, but sort of through a lens of the data, you know, is going to quote unquote tell us the truth, right? Because I think there's always this concept of if you look at the data the right way, you're going to get the quote right message. But obviously, there's also a case you can look at the same data and draw the wrong conclusions from it. And so just curious how you as a group think about bias and or how you deal with cases where you've been looking at data and maybe reached a conclusion that later on you concluded, oh, maybe the data was actually telling us something different.
It happens. We did actually start an exercise, and this is when we started standing up the, you know, the interpreters to start giving narrative. We started doing a 360 review. So every interpreter would have to go talk as a group. The three things they would go tell their leader about this piece of content. And then the teams would challenge that. So it really did bring some independence, but it also kind of made people think differently around how they should look at it, because everyone does have a different point of view. That was one thing that really stood out in those sessions, was that 360 review internally. And, you know, so at the end of the day, we'd say, did it reshape what you were going to tell them, you know, based on what you heard? And I think there was times it did and times it didn't. You know, I think depending on the business acumen of that person around what they knew exactly what was going on. But I know when they did talk to the leaders that it definitely said, hey, here's some different point of views that maybe it's showing, and let the leader decide on the what action they want to take.
So I guess this being willing to look at things different ways and to have different points of view is going to continue to be important no matter what you're doing with your data.
Yes. And you got to be also careful. You might not have all the data. I mean, you have 80%. That 20% can be hugely valuable to change that whole decision. So it is important, at least when you're telling the story of, you know, this is based on what the data we have and what we can present. But there are some other components that maybe go into that full story that we don't have.
And then if you were, you know, someone listening is thinking, wow, I really could be doing more. You know, they're thinking about the monthly reports they're producing. Maybe it's even, you know, just their own. And they want to do more. What's some advice you would give them if, again, just starting out and very early on in this journey?
Identify your personas. Think of your skills within your team. You know, if you have some expertise, and it doesn't have to be crazy in data, you know, you focus on someone who loves visuals and someone who just loves to look at data and do the narrative and think of it, wants to be that analyst, put those three people together, like put them together, help them solve a problem. They'll get bigger and better. Yeah. For every time you go around, you know, you improve it. And try to drive a different experience with your stakeholders. The monthly financial results is not my, I am a proponent for the real time, you know, discussion and driving a real time monthly, you know, story around it and how it changes and what's important today. And, you know, always keeping it, you know, here's how we've tracked on some of the other things, but I think everything has a, you know, this environment changes quickly.
Right. And I think, again, for many of our listeners, maybe they are not producing all the results or they're not an FP&A, but I feel like everyone in their jobs is producing some reports and using data to tell something. And so just being willing to take a new lens to it, I think you're going to be able to do a lot more, again, even with all these tools and otherwise, than we were many years ago. So
another idea is have your people who are doing your visuals tell me what you're seeing. You know, to start up the Analysts of the Future was not overnight. It was interesting. We get so caught up in building the visual, building the dashboard that you start losing track of what you're actually showing. And I think that was, you know, you could always take a pause, those who are building those tools and saying, all right, what is this telling me? What should I do with it? And challenge them on that, because that'll make them think a little differently as well.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good place to start. So then, Scott, the final question. So if you were to look a year or two into the future, where do you think this area is going?
I hope dashboards are dead. I feel like the visualization era of data discovery, I feel like will slowly unwind. I think you're going to see a lot more technologies that's going to get more into the insight sort of narrative models, and you're going to have a chart with a visual with a narrative automatically with it, and you know, that's honestly, we're working on its things internally around that as well. I mean, we're trying to build our own internal persona base, but with narrative, with a hybrid of the analysts also being able to contribute, and really trying to be more specific on what data is telling you. I think that that's my hope, that I feel like over the next 3 years, you're going to see a lot more intelligence on the information and it gets smarter.
Yeah. So instead of being about numbers, this is about words in a way. So it's a very different lens to bring to it. But Scott, very interesting, and really appreciate the insights.
Thank you for having me.
That does it for today. Join me back here every Tuesday and Thursday for new podcast episodes. And event reminder, we're 1 week out from next week's ESG webcast happening on Thursday, July 22nd. Join me in our biggest webcast panel yet to learn what finance teams need to know about this rapidly evolving area. And so that you never miss an episode, follow the PwC Accounting Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. To stay up to date on all the latest content, subscribe to our newsletter at viewpoint.pwc.com and connect with me on LinkedIn. For PwC's National Office Studios, I'm Heather Horn. Thanks for tuning in.
This podcast is brought to you by PwC, all rights reserved. PwC refers to the U.S. member firm or one of its subsidiaries or affiliates, and they sometimes refer to the PwC network. Each member firm is a separate legal entity. Please see www.pwc.com/structure for further details. This podcast is for general information purposes only and should not be used as a substitute for consultation with professional advisors.